everyone, welcome back to episode 9.
I can't believe it's been 9 episodes. That's actually mad.
9 episodes, 1 off 10. Today we've got a really exciting one for you. We are going to be talking about something quite scientific, which I have to say I'm not qualified in, but I've read a book.
Which is more than I've done, so.
We're going to be talking about the gut microbiome because it's actually mind-blowing how influential it is on our everything, on our life.
On our everything.
And I've got so much to share, Sam.
We could say that this was requested by a listener because I listened and I requested it. And I'm so excited because I really want to know what these things are.
Well, I'm here to tell you.
Come on.
With the help of Tim Spector.
Who's Tim Spector and what's he on about?
Basically, it's this guy who is a research professor in the nutritional sphere of science. And he has written this book called The Diet Myth, The Real Science Behind What We Eat. And the whole premise of the book is that our weight and how we process food and all of that jazz is more influenced by the bacteria in our gut than a lot of other factors, such as our genes, how much we exercise. Yeah, he's basically saying a diverse gut microbiota is really, really important. And it just reaffirmed my thinking this whole time that it's really important to eat a really diverse whole food diet with lots of different veggies.
Yeah, because we've been banging on about that for a long time. And to be honest with you, I was always coming from the aspect of like, eat seasonally, that's diverse in itself. And like, you know, just try new things and have fun with it. But to find out that it has this like really big positive impact on your body as well, it just brings everything together.
Yeah.
It's just a full circle really moment. I've got a bit of a question then.
Yeah.
So like, what are these bacteria then? Because, you know, my closest encounter with bacteria in my life is through killing them with surface spray. Like, are these good ones? What are they doing to our food? Are they us? Am I those bacteria? What's going on, Ellie? Tell me.
Well, apparently, according to Tim Spector, the food that we eat, we only have a limited amount of like actual enzymes that we produce that can digest and break down the food. Most of the processing of our food in our gut is actually done by these bacteria, and it's good bacteria. It's not, you know, the bad kind of bacteria that you would think of when you think of bacteria. It's good, healthy bacteria.
Incredible.
And that's why fermented foods are so on trend these days, because they foster that good gut bacteria.
Trend alert, and kimchi.
Kimchi, kombucha, sauerkraut.
I had a kombucha.
When?
A couple of weeks ago.
How was it?
It was very strange. It kind of tasted like drinking flavoured watered down vinegar, but it also felt really nice to drink.
It's one you have to get used to, I think.
Yeah, I quite liked it.
Yeah, I think it's nice. And you're probably adding to your good gut bacteria. But I think to maintain that, you probably have to keep drinking or eating those fermented foods. And that's why I've been taking probiotics, because I have IBS, as we know. And that is influenced by your gut microbiota. And probiotics have changed my life, to be honest, after 5 years of struggling.
You could be on the cover of OK Magazine. Probiotics are changing my life. I've got another question.
Yeah.
See,
hit me.
I've got all the questions. So if these bacteria that are in our gut do all the heavy lifting when it comes to what we eat, how do we look after them? How do we keep them healthy?
Yeah, so this is where eating a diverse diet comes in, because in the Western world, our range of foods that we eat is actually really quite limited. And that has had real knock-on effects on the diversity of our microbiome in our gut. Mm. And if you sample the microbiome from a Western person's gut and compare it to someone from like a hunter-gatherer tribe where they eat hundreds of different species of plants, animals, everything, we have a much narrower range of microbes in our gut. So how to foster it is, like I said, with like fermented foods or probiotics, because I think they have bacteria in them. I'll come on to prebiotics in a bit, but take probiotics that helps sort of cultivate your microbiomes. Eat lots and lots of different vegetables, and that's where seasonal eating is really good for you, because you can, it just encourages you to like sample different veg throughout the year that you wouldn't normally think to cook with. What else can you do? Make sure you get like whole grains rather than like white rice and white pasta and white bread. Whole grains, you know, unprocessed. Eat lots of whole foods and not processed foods, and get lots of fiber. Get, you know, your nuts and seeds in. Flax seeds are a prebiotic. And this is where we need to come on to prebiotics. There's a handful of foods that are prebiotics, where they are the sorts of foods that the bacteria feed off of, and it helps to grow them stronger. And that is how you cultivate a healthy gut microbiome.
Oh my gosh. So if you eat probiotics and prebiotics, can you just grow them down there? Can you just...
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's
But if you eat really limited, you know, standard, there's a thing called the standard American diet, which obviously when you shorten it down, it's SAD. It's very, very sad. Oh. If you eat the standard American diet...
Sorry to any Americans listening.
That's what it's called in the nutrition world, the standard American diet. Yeah, if you
and
eat
they
that
call
and
it
it's like...
Sad.
Well, it's SAD, isn't it? Standard American diet. Sad. It's just depressing. But that's full of like beige food, processed, you know, limited whole grains, limited veg. That is going to really... That's just going to kill off your microbiome like nothing else.
It's just going to do a number on you.
Well, you can grow it back. You know, I've struggled with IBS for 5 years, and this is why I've got so into this, because that was caused by me having gone to Tanzania and, you know, probably got a bug or something out there, but it really sort of messed up my gut microbes. It's just taken me this long to realize I need to just cultivate them back, and I need to eat all those diverse different things, and I started taking probiotics. Anyway, I'm rambling, so yeah.
So it's not too late then, is it? Because it just makes me feel a little bit sad and helpless thinking that after all these years of not knowing about this, that I've kind of killed them all off and there's no hope.
Oh my gosh, no, of course it's not too late.
Okay.
Let's get into some of the exciting things that I read about in this book, because there are some corkers.
Corkers. Honestly, oh, I never thought I'd be having a conversation about the gut microbiome and having it be referred to as a corker.
So, one of the shockers from this book is how...
One of the shockers!
our microbes in our gut can influence our body weight. Because they've done studies in mice where they've took the microbes from the gut of an obese mouse and they've put them in the gut of an underweight mouse. And they found that even though the diet of the mice did not change, the mouse that was a skinny mouse that had the implant started putting weight on loads.
That is insane. I remember you telling me about that and I was literally blown away.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah. And they found in humans that classified overweight have reduced gut microbiome diversity compared to those who are, quote, healthy BMI.
Interesting. So it's not so much to do with genetics?
Well, or... no. Like, I think there might be a gene or two here or there that influence our weight, but largely, it's much more influenced by the diversity of our gut microbiome than we think.
Madness.
And that just scares me a little. It makes me feel a little alarmed, because in the West, you know, we don't eat enough varied foods and we have reduced diversity of our in our gut. And I'm thinking maybe it's linked with the obesity epidemic.
That deeply upsets me.
But you know what? It can be fixed, because there's something called horizontal gene transfer.
What is that?
Some foods we actually cannot digest But if we ingest the right microbe that can do it for us, we can suddenly start digesting it.
That is insane.
It is, isn't
Yeah. What's an example?
it? So basically, we can't digest seaweed yet. But in Japan, people who live by the sea, they can digest seaweed. How? Well, I'll
I
tell
can hear
you.
you asking how? How you ask?
Basically, there's this microbe that lives in the guts of some fish, and somehow by eating loads of seafood and like just living by the sea, they've ingested this microbe and it's gone into their gut and then sort of populated itself there and grown. And there's this thing that I learned in A-level biology called horizontal gene transfer, where it's a dead sciencey and I don't remember too much about it anymore, but all I know is the premise is that bacteria can pass genes to each other. Just
Like on a sports day, with
yeah,
the baton. What's that called? The relay.
the relay race.
The relay race. The relay.
I
This
blanked out.
episode can be called The Relay Race Inside Your Guts.
I just blanked out all memories of sports day, especially that one time in high school when I signed myself up for one of the longer runs and was and just stopped 5 minutes in and just panted and out of breath, and everyone just ran off ahead of me.
Why did you do that?
I just thought you could, casually just run a long distance race without any practice or any training. But
5 minutes and just stood still.
was like that meme of that woman that just stands there with her hands on her knees, just panting. She's like, she wears the glasses. But does she have the glasses? Does she have glasses on? I don't remember.
I have no idea who you're on about. I
Complete
don't know what
sidetrack. I'm gonna send you that.
I feel just as in the dark as our listeners will listening to this.
We'll add it to the weekly collection. Right, so anyway, horizontal gene transfer. Basically, yeah, the bacteria, they just kind of like bump up next to each other and just one just goes, here you go, mate, and passes them the gene. And then that bacteria
No,
that
wait, we can't just brush past that like it's
And then the bacteria that receives that gene can then suddenly start digesting the thing that, so for example, in this case, the seaweed that it couldn't digest before. So our own bacteria can now digest the seaweed. We don't need that bacteria from that random fish's gut.
Oh my goodness, that is insane.
So, yeah, and I think that's how we ended up being able to digest milk potentially. Or maybe not actually. I don't remember. I'm not sure.
Nobody quote us on that.
Yeah, he does talk about how we were able to end up digesting milk. I don't remember because I'm not interested because all about that plant-based lifestyle. If you're struggling to digest certain things, just keep eating enough of them, and hopefully your bacteria will get some of that horizontal gene transfer from, I don't know where the other bacteria that are going to give it to them will come from, but they'll come from somewhere. And then,
Struggling to digest that certain thing. You've just got to travel to Japan and eat enough fish to absorb the
yeah,
gene.
he was saying if we eat enough fish, we will encounter that bacteria. But then when do we ever eat seaweed apart from if you're in Yo Sushi and it's on a little tiny plate?
A little dome on top, like the Simpsons movie.
Did I talk about prebiotics?
Very briefly.
Well, let me just elaborate on that. If you eat enough prebiotics, they will, gut bacteria love them and they love feeding off them. And in this book, he talks about how he had a colonoscopy. And when you have a colonoscopy, it actually washes, it completely clears your gut out. It's like a big spring clean. And it's not great because it does remove 99% of your gut microbiome.
Oh my
So
gosh.
he was like, He grew his back
Really?
in like 3 days because he just ate a prebiotic diet, and he ate artichokes, which are a prebiotic, chicory root, dandelion leaves, garlic, onions, leeks, asparagus, broccoli, flax seeds, pistachio, and a variety of other nuts. So yeah, there's loads of prebiotics out there. What else do we need to talk about? We need to talk about how lots of people think that lethargy and laziness and
I don't know what lethargy means. What's
being
lethargy?
lethargic and tired and lazy.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was that kind of word. I thought lethargic was just the only way it was.
Well, I'm adding to vocabulary,
Oh
darling.
my gosh, the lethargy of it all. So, what context can I use that in?
Don't know. Anything and everything, just try it out.
See where it fits. Take it out for a
Yeah.
spin. Everyone at work, get ready for me sliding that into conversation.
Oh, the lethargy of it all. I think you should just say in like investor meetings, just randomly out of nowhere, just go, oh, the lethargy of it
Lethargy
all.
of it all. Guys, who's excited for Lethargy Fridays?
Right.
If that's the thing, I'm so using it.
Anyway, people think that like us having being lethargic and having a sedentary lifestyle in the West, I don't know how you say that word. I don't know if it's sedentary, sedentary, I don't know. But you know, sort of lack of exercise. They think that that is one of the major causes of the obesity crisis. But actually, if you look at, as Tim Spector and his colleagues have done, hunter-gatherer tribes, you know, the sort of last ones, they are just as lazy as us. They are just as lazy. But the difference is in their lifestyle. Oh, and they eat just as much as us in terms of like calories and stuff. The difference is, though, they have a really, really, really diverse diet. They eat like hundreds of different things, as I mentioned before. Whereas, you know, we have some peppers and onions, and that's about it.
I love the UK diet of white pasta, McDonald's, and Costa Panini.
Oh, Costa Panini. Just to top it off. Yeah. Because this is the sad thing. I used to think, you know, ooh, panini at the, you know, the coffee chain. You know, I used to look at it and go, oh, that's that nice. But now I look at it and I'm like, where's the veg?
Where's
It's
the
literally just a big hunk of white bread and like a few measly pieces of pepper in it or something, and like a little bit of chicken, and it's like, where's the nutrients? There's none. That is not worth the money you pay for it. I'd rather have what I had for tea tonight, right? Bulgur wheat, red quinoa, white quinoa, roasted aubergine and peppers, courgette. I know that's not everyone's cup of tea. Chickpeas, you know, and some mint and some lemon. And
And some
it's just
cat food,
perfection.
and it just keeps going on.
I know it's a lot of things, but you know what? Trying to keep that gut microbiome.
Yeah, and I feel like I just Costa shamed. I panini shamed everyone.
No. It's fine, there's just better options out there, and there's way more exciting options, and that's the main point. There's one other thing that I want to talk about from this book.
Go for it, me love.
French cheeses.
Why on earth would we be talking about French cheeses? What's going on?
Because this book starts out with French cheeses, and it is a shocker. He basically just says, like, the cheeses that we have in the UK are not really real. Well, they are real, but you know, they're just processed manufactured things that just don't contain any of the goodness. Because real real unpasteurized French cheeses, they have loads of like healthy live bacteria in there that are good for your gut. I mean, some of the gruesome detail he goes into about how they make those cheeses is a little bit stomach churning, but it's just made me realize like the cheese that we have in the UK, it's just not the one. And
But
if you can have cheese.
why have we banned unpasteurized cheese,
I
unpasteurized
think
milk?
because the FDA, they just say it's got too much bacteria in. But he was going on about how they wipe milky rags all over the floor and then put it on the cheese and stuff. So
I think it's safe to say that it should probably be banned then, because that just sounds like a violation.
I think that's some of the more extreme French cheeses.
That's
But it
literally
has to be.
wiping a dirty rag in milk and letting cheese come out on the other end.
Yeah. I want to find the actual bit now just so I'm not misquoting.
Oh, nope, says it right there. Dirty rag on floor in cheese.
Let me find it.
Hey, Tim Spector. I'm disgusted by that dirty rag.
The more artisanal the cheese making process, the less sterile the kitchens and the more diverse the microbes that grow in and on the cheese.
But what if you end up getting bad microbes in there?
Yeah, I suppose that's probably why they sort of, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, that's in America, they very much banned it. But their cheese is also just plastic cheese, to be honest, when you think about it.
America, home of the cheese in the can.
And the what?
America, home of cheese in a can.
Oh, they have cheese in a can.
Yeah, squirty cheese that comes out of a can.
I mean, I have had squirty cheese in
That
this
comes out of a
country.
can.
Not out of a can, out of a tube. That wasn't that
Really? Why not? It sounds stunning.
to be honest. Oh, here we go. Right. When I visited the Savoie, is that how you say it? Region of France recently, the process of making traditional alpaggio, Comté cheese, which uses a recipe that hasn't changed for centuries, was explained to me. The explanation took an hour, but the basic process involved mixing cold and warm cow's milk outside in the spring mountain air. Other cheeses use an added enzyme, which chemically cuts off the tail of the milk protein. So it allows it to curdle into lumps that stick to the fat. The lumpy mixture is passed through a fine linen net to drain some of the liquid, then stored in old wooden shelves in a damp cellar. The cheese is regularly rubbed with a milky rag from a vat on the cellar floor full of milk, whey, and brine, which gives the cheese a good crust teeming with microbes, including bacteria and fungi, which change the acidity and the taste. For French cheeses, the key to the many tastes are the other substances that the milky rag may be dipped in, such as in the past, horse urine, which gave acidity as well as distinctive flavours. More real cheeses are left to age and mature, including hard cheeses like cheddar, and have a crust or rind that contains other larger microbes called cheese mites, visible under a powerful magnifying glass. The greedy creatures eat the microbes and cheese on the crust, making tiny holes that improve the flavour, but they're usually brushed off before the cheese goes to the shops. One cheese, Mimolette, used to arrive with so many mites crawling on it, the US health authorities banned it. After its banning, the bright orange cheese, a French 17th century copy of aged Gouda, became a big black market seller. Cheese fans liked the earthy taste and the rind. The mites, transparent and understandably chubby, can be seen wriggling happily in a hardcore YouTube video as they munch away on the cheese. The video comes with a warning: you may never want to eat French cheese again.
I think that might have just sent me post-food. I don't think I'm ever going to eat again after listening to that.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, that is horrifying to me.
I think that's some of the more extreme ends of it, but the basic premise of French cheese unpasteurized is that it contains healthy microbes and they are good for our gut. But the types of cheeses that we have in the supermarkets don't really live up to that. I think we're done. I've got nothing more to say. My final message to you all is: eat a diverse diet, cultivate your gut microbes, get your fermented foods in, get your prebiotics, your probiotics, and eat those fibrous whole grains and veggies. And that's all I have to say.
I love that stunning advice.
Thank
Once
you and
again,
good night.
from Dr. Ellie Case. Thank you and good night. Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I don't have anything to say.
What did you think of all of that, Sam?
I feel changed. I think something core to my being will never be the same again.
What, because of the cheese?
Just all of it. I think I need a week off. It was very interesting stuff, and I'm very much looking forward to using lethargy in my life. So that's something we can all take away from this episode today.
It is interesting, isn't it? It just makes you realise, like, it's important not just to get more veggies in, but get different types in. And it's exciting because you're thinking, oh, what am I feeding my gut microbes today? What? And we can all cultivate these little living organisms inside our bodies.
Yeah, those gut microbes are there to help and protect you.
Yeah, and process your foods for you.
I love it.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. You can find us at Salmonelli Pod on Instagram and other socials. And please join our Facebook group, The Group Discuss Things. And also, if you want to leave us a 5-star review telling us how amazing we are, we'd very much appreciate it.
And you can find me, Ellie Case, on LinkedIn at EllenCaseUK.
By the way, we've got a job going. We've got a job opening going. Well, it's a voluntary, unpaid. If anyone is interested in being our digital marketing volunteer,
Excuse me, digital marketing executive volunteer.
please reach out to me and I'll send you the job spec.
That's Elena Case Group.
Someone's tagged someone else.
Oh, it's spreading like wildfire. Quick, get in there, get your applications in. It's filling up. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.